The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key. The key.
All right, welcome everyone to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening and chiming in today. Today is November the 4th, 2015, and we have a live show for you today. Big ups to my man, Scotty, man. If you only knew some of the work that goes into running a network and putting together programming for you guys, it's amazing. Big ups to Scotty for all that you do, bro. I appreciate and thank you for being who you are and what you do. Hey, everyone, continue to support. And if you haven't started to support, please support Black Talk Radio Network. As I was just saying, you know, Scotty puts a lot into this, and it's time consuming. It's something that he does for you to get this information out to you. Think about how Black Talk Radio Network has changed, has benefited so many of you guys individually and your family, and how it's benefited our community collectively. And, you know, we really need to make sure that we take care of these individuals and these projects and the seeds that we have, because we don't have very much of it. You know, mainstream media has taken over, and it's not popular to do what's being done now, because the overall controlling factors of the world in which has been created for you doesn't want you to realize who you are. And Black Talk Radio Network is here to re-engage that thought process and that determination and that will for you. So please make monetary donations to Black Talk Radio Network. If you haven't done it yet, you know, you said you were going to do it, you thought about it, you said here and there, well, actually stop to do it, please. It's so important, because we don't want to lose these avenues, but we have lost so much. And every time we lose something, we ask a question: where did it go? Why didn't? And it's because of you. We didn't support what we have. And if not someone else, will be to look in any direction. It has to start with you. And if you have been supporting Black Talk Radio Network, thank you so much. Continue to do that, and truly appreciate it, so that we can continue to bring you what it is that you need. Also, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook. From there, I post a lot of different articles and everything. And, you know, I got to bring Brother Braggs on. We're working on a show that's going to be a powerful show this week. But I want big ups to Brother Braggs. And Brother Braggs sends me stuff all the time. And I got to, you know, I'm going to make Brother Braggs where he could just post inside of Tando Radio Show, because this brother is just like, you know, Scotty and Brother and Sister Davis and Cece and so many other individuals. They really, really care about our people, and they care about our direction, and they're making sacrifices to actually get information out to you so that you will live in the light and in the manifestation that you were created to live in, free and independent. So that's what it's all about. No man rules you. No man tells you what to do. No man has governing law over you. That is only what you surrender to. And so this is what we're engaging in here at Black Talk Radio Network and here at Tando Radio Show. So, hey, go to Facebook, check out Tando Radio Show, tell friends, tell people about it, give us a like if you like what we're doing there, greatly appreciate it. And check out some of the stories that we have today. So, today's show, but before we get into today's show, I want to go over some articles that I haven't really been able to go over in a while. I want to just go over some real, real important articles, and then we're going to get into today's show. And if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make from Monday's show and yesterday's show, feel free to give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 54 90 32 pounds, and then hit star 61, and that will prompt me to, I will see that you have a question or a comment that you would like to make, and it'll prompt me, and then I will go to you as soon as I see it at the very next available second. So if you have any comments or questions or anything that you wanted to talk about from Monday's show, what was about Big Pharma, and yesterday's show, what was about GMO food, very, very powerful shows, and they were long videos, but it was important that we sometimes sit down and really listen to things that are very important within our lives. You know, the radio is such a very, very important thing. It's more powerful than the TV. A TV is the reason why a TV is destructive is because a TV puts you in a catatonic state. It actually puts you into a daydream state. And that way, from the subliminal messages and everything else, and the imagery and the flashing, they're actually able to control a message that you will subconsciously gravitate to. If you've ever watched people watching TV, the next time notice, stop and just watch people that are watching TV. They're like in a daydream state, in a catatonic state. They're totally oblivious to the things that's going on around them. You can call them, they won't even hear their name, and they're right there. Then they have a quick flashing or a startling response to it and say, huh, you know. But watch that. That is design. That's what that box is doing. And if you look at it, it's mind-altering. From the same pharmaceutical drugs that are prescribed legally on today's drug market in the field of legal drugs that are nothing more, that are even more damaging than illegal drugs, they do the exact same thing as psychotropics. Look at people that are on those types of medications and how they react. Then look at people that are watching TV. It's the same, practically the same thing. The relationship is definitely meant to happen, and it's there if you just start to notice it. You start to ask questions. Questions are more important than an answer, because the answer is temporary while a question is eternal. So radio is so great because you're able to maintain your thought pattern and process, and it enables you to not to go into a daydream state, because it's basically done through frequency waves. And the frequency allows your mind and allows you to maintain full consciousness while you're making thoughtful progress. So the radio is so, so important. It actually is almost as important as reading. Reading is far more important, because it actually stimulates your mind in such a way that really no other can do it like that. It's one of the best exercises for your mind to read as much as you can and listen to radio. So just want to say, hey, thanks for supporting us. And let's get into today's show. But before we get going in today's show, what I want to do is I want to go over some articles that I wasn't able to go over since last week, some very, very important ones that are here. And you're going to see some real, real, very, very important ones that were posted since last week, because we were off all last week. So just want to, let me go down. My computer, of course, is acting up. Let me go down to, okay. So some of the things that were posted since last week, really, really important one. Didn't really get to talk about this, but we're going to talk about it now. We're going to run through some of these. Okay. One second. Of course, you heard of the overall boot that the administration, and there has been a decision to place military advisors, which is nothing more than boots in the ground, on Syria. That article was posted last week inside of Tando Radio Show. Definitely check that one out. And very, very significant, and you're going to see a pattern from what's going on here. We are moving closer and closer to, and now it cannot be denied, even by the so-called, what I like to call them is the godchildren of the controllers. They what I mean by that, they are the people that would say, oh, you're into conspiracy theories, because they are irrational and they just buy the propaganda and they just buy the lies. They're nothing more than godchildren to the overall power structure that is, and is, they're not even beneficial power. I mean, godchildren. They're just like these little non-paid minions that just follow the overall direction and fads of today. And the controlling factors love those type of people, because they are, if you find those type of people, you'll see that they aren't thinkers for themselves. They're very naive. They're more followers than anything else, and they really want to be a part of the whole system of control. And they are, I like to say, they are borderline sociopaths that understand what's going on and actually see a relative good in ends to the means for it all, because they would do it themselves, but they just don't have the wherewithal to be in that position. But they condone it subconsciously, and what they want to do is they would attack real thinkers, because you're a threat to them, because you're not like them. You have a consciousness that you haven't surrendered, and a thought process that you will not yield to someone else's direction and agenda. You're not a sellout. A sellout is someone that's willing to compromise their morality for someone else's agenda. And so you got a bunch of God children that's running around being minions for the controlling factors that really do make decisions, and they don't even pay them or don't even give them anything of beneficial means. They're going to kill them just like they're going to try to kill everybody else. But they'll kill them first, because of their naive state of being. They will be the perfect victim. And believe me, those individuals will be very dangerous as things start to unfold globally, because they are not prepared for what's coming, because they're good, you know, their big brother and their Uncle Sam is going to take care of them. It doesn't matter where their Uncle Sam, it could be in Germany or anywhere in the world. It's the same overall mental thought process, or deficient mental thought process, that is not based in reality. It's a fantasy. You know, they can't distinguish between fantasy football and life. They live in a fantasy, and it's because people to face reality, because they're afraid to. Fear rules them. It doesn't motivate them. It paralyzes them. So check out this one article. And this article was posted on the 28th. About the U.S. Putting boots on the ground inside Syria. This is going to continue, and as we continue on the show, you'll start to see how this is starting to even get blown out of more proportion, and it's going to continue in a direction. There's no stopping it now. Full on, full blown. Can't turn back now. So check out that article. Another great article was, don't know if we covered this. I think we may have. Really, really important article. Let me check real quick. Let me look at my calendar real quick while I'm doing that. Real important article that was last week. No, it wasn't. I didn't get to talk to you guys about it. I posted inside of Tando something from Overstock.com. It was the CEO of Overstock, the chairman of Overstock.com, who's also running for governor of Utah. And what Overstock.com did, smart, very, very smart. I don't know if you guys, a lot of people checked it out, but what Overstock did is that they're prepared for the economic collapse of this country. They actually purchased, provisions to keep their employees sovereign for weeks. They also purchased a large amount of gold, and they purchased that for the overall sustainability of Overstock.com and their employees. So because they wanted their employees to continue to get paid even through the economic collapse. And they made a large gold purchase, and that was the reasoning for their purchase. Now, I believe that they are being very sincere about this, because if they made the purchase just for themselves as the company, they didn't have to tell anything about they could have just made it for the company and not for the employees. But they put this out because they know what's coming and what's happening. And so they're making provisions for all of their employees. So, hey, if you can get on with Overstock.com, definitely get on with them. That's one reason why you would choose them over other things, because they actually made provisions for the economic collapse and to have food and other provisions and be able to pay their employees. And they're going to pay their employees in gold. Or they're going to use the gold so that they can pay their keep their employees pay going, which is a very, you know, admirable and noble thing in this day and age. You don't see this type of preparedness on a company level, but of course they're out of Utah, so it you know people from Utah, the Mormons are known for preparing, so they're not naive to what's going on. They've been doing this for a while. It's more of a cultural thing, but it's something that's good. That's there, and I wanted to for you guys to be aware of that. And it's, I posted that on October the 25th. That's Jonathan Johnson, the chairman of Overstock.com. Really, really good article. He says a lot there. Some of the things I do agree with, some of the things I don't. One of the things is Bitcoin. Good thing about Overstock is they allow for Bitcoin, but I would not put any real faith in any crypto digital currency, because you can't hold it, so you don't own it. You need the internet in order for it to work, so it doesn't give you lordial title, which is so important. So, but otherwise we agree with pretty much everything that they said there, and it was good that company is doing that for their employees. Then next, it was of course last week on Tuesday, it was a Navy ship that sailed into the disputed islands down in the South Sea of China, and that's what today's show is going to be about. So it has already happened, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but the articles have been posted there since last week. Check those articles out. Very important, but we're going to go over that today. Also, we have Iran to join the BRIC New Development Bank. Very, very important. Iran is one of the things that was going on over there in the Middle East, is that there's a push to control Iran, because Iran is the country that has the largest deposit of oil, far exceeding Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is actually the word on the street and the word within the scuttlebutt within the industries is that Saudi Arabia has run out of oil. They don't have the oil reserves that they've been known to have in the past. And those oil pools are not being replenished, because I believe that oil is abiotic. It's not what science tells you. It's a lie, because then they control you. But they've overextended their oil capacity, and now they're making a major push. This is why they're in multiple wars with Yemen, engaging in multiple theaters of war with Yemen, and pushing in Syria, and pushing in Iran, and actually pushing a lot of the overall instability of that region. So it makes sense why they're doing that, because of their overall disposition. And there's a lot of news now coming out that not only are they running out of oil, but they're running out of water and food. Major, major hard times coming on in the government in Saudi Arabia, which is a monarch, has actually started to cut back on their overall spending for things. All of the things are lining up, and I expect them to start to wage their hand in the very secretive way, in a hidden way, in the very near future. And I think we may have even seen that, because there are some allegations that they may have taken part in the overall, beyond the funding for ISIS, but in the overall plane downing that happened on Saturday, the Russian plane that was crashed, brought down, however you know they want to say it, that Saudi Arabia may have had a role in that. Also posted that article in today in Tando. Very, very important. So just want to go over some of these things real quick because they are important. You're not going to find them on mainstream media. So Iran is going to join BRICS New Development Bank. I wouldn't be surprised if Iran would be the other eyes relatively soon in the BRIC nations, because if you notice something, all of the BRIC nations are heavy asset countries, and Iran is also. So I actually expect them to become a part of BRICS next. So you think about it. Iran joining the New Development Bank, they're telling you pretty much everything. It's a new development. What's the old development? The old development is going to be the Western hegemony and the dollar hegemony, the U.S. dollar hegemony that the West has had. And also, I believe it's going to be based out of the New Development Bank will be the new developments from the war that will be World War III that will be played out here. They pretty much tell you everything if we start to really, really listen and pay attention to what's being said. So next, this was a very, very important story. Need to have a show just on this. Iceland is getting it right. Once again, first, Iceland had jailed bankers for their crimes in 2008, the financial crimes that they waged against the people of Iceland and the Icelandic banks. They actually started to put bankers in jail. Well, something that Iceland did last week that was very key was that Iceland, every Icelander is to receive 30,000, basically 30,000 of their dollars from the bank sale. So they're selling off the bank assets, and guess who's going to get to be the beneficiary of that? The very people of Iceland who were victimized by that. Iceland, once again, has shown the moral route to dealing with the bankers and the overall advent of what's been the fraud that has been waged, the ubiquitous fraud that has been waged against you and everyone else in this world collectively, and they're handling it the correct way. Sending the people to jail, they don't give people immunity, the bankers' immunity there. So this is something that we really need to monitor and make sure that it continues in the direction and is not a diversion or is not a ambush in any other way, that this is exactly what it's supposed to be. And this is, you know, something that the rest of the world economically should emulate and follow because it works. Now, is this something that is going to be a problem? Sure. Don't be surprised if there is, during this next World War III, as this starts to unfold, that Iceland becomes one of the targeted countries as an enemy to the bankers, and let's see how that works out. But great for Iceland. They're standing up for their individual rights. They're doing it the correct way, and this is something that we all should emulate, and this is how it should be done. So big ups to Iceland for handling their economic fraud the way that they're handling it so far. So we'd like to see how this plays out. This is something that we should definitely keep an eye on. If you notice, there's no one talking about this at all in alternative media and mainstream media because they don't want you to know. And, you know, the alternative media, the only reason why they wouldn't talk about it is because they didn't know about it in most cases. But we're going to have to be really careful with alternative media, especially people within alternative media that start to make it big, because that is how they infiltrate and control the overall narrative and the propaganda of things. And I think there are some people in so-called alternative media now that I suspect that are exactly doing just that, and they're some of the bigger names and they're fully funded. They're not, you know, and that is because they want to control the overall narrative, so they put their little minions and peons that will be willing to go along with it. So they are out there, and we just have to be mindful of them and continue to do what is right and outside of what their direction is. So you'll be able to see who they are in no time at all. Next, to check out, Russia says no country can use military force in Syria without the Syrian governmental approval. What is that happening? Basically, as you already know what I think about this, this is all the same countries. These so-called governments are in one big fraternity against us. They supposedly have national borders and citizens and everything else. But I really just believe it's nothing more than corporate slavery at the highest level, and they disseminate their powers and their influence that way, and they deceive us all by making us think that we have a side and a horse in the race when we don't. Not even realize that we are the actual horse that is being auctioned off every time. And because of that, that gives them plausible deniability, and it gives them great cover to be able to do the things that they want to do covertly. And there is no such thing as nation. There are no such things as nations when you think about it. Man has created that. Man has created it for the benefit of very few men and at the expense of the rest of mankind. So we really need to start to look at this on a more holistic mindset, just like we need to look at it, you know, the medical field in that same light and in that same vein. We need to look at this collectively as that also, because these governments are in one big fraternity against you. 97% of the casualties of war are innocent civilians. That's a telling you that's a depopulation program that's going on, and they purposely do that. So check out, in this article, Russia says no other country can use military force in Syria without government approval, Syrian government approval. So what is this being said? This is directly put out towards all of the NATO countries, particularly the United States, who want to now put military advisors on the ground, which is nothing more than boots on the ground, and to intervene even more into Syria. And if you think about it, that's right. How can you say you're going to come in here without this country you're basically invading? And so what Russia is saying is that they will protect them because they've been invited, and they've been invited to protect them. Why is this happening? Because it has everything to do with the overall full-on global control that is going to tighten its grip throughout the world. And what they like to use is they like to use fear and war to perpetuate, so that everyone will continue to bow down and serve them ways and means, that you will have your way of life to provide for their means of life. So, but this is what this is saying. This is another step letting you know that this is going to go completely into full-blown war between the BRIC nations and the NATO nations. The old NATO nations, which is falling apart and crumbling as it speaks, and I expect many NATO members to leave NATO and go to and align themselves with the BRIC nations. And I would not be surprised if Germany would be one of the first countries to do that. Germany, and then wherever Germany goes, France is going to have to follow. So those relationships are already being fostered, so to speak. And like I said, once again, remember, it's a bigger game than what they show, the hand that they're showing. But this is a part of the moves that are being played out in this chessboard of war. So check out that article, real good one there. Another one, real important one, was that the Federal Reserve had told banks that they need to have additional buffers for too big to fail banks. So, hey, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. When we come back, we're going to touch on this a little bit more. Then we're going to get into the show. If you have any comments or questions about anything that we're talking about today or talked about this week, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound. Then just hit *61, and I will see that you're there, and I'll pull you up right away. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we get back, we'll get into the show, and we're going to come back to these articles real quick, and then we're going to get into the show. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Scotty Reed,
founder of the Black Talk Media Project and Black Talk Radio Network. We recently launched a new website found at ProxyRacism.com. The website ProxyRacism.com will feature news stories about proxy racism and those that are willingly or perhaps are unwittingly helping to advance elements of the system of global racial injustice. Visitors to the website in the near future will be able to submit stories for consideration that illustrate the problem of proxy racism among non-white people. Visitors will also vote on who will win the Butter Biscuit Award, which will be a monthly affair. Our first story comes to you from ProxyRacism.com, and it is about the Gaston County, North Carolina NAACP chapter president, who is also the first ever Butter Biscuit Award nominee. The Gaston Gazette reported that a Gaston County, North Carolina sheriff's captain is being apologetic now that a photo has surfaced on social media in which she is wearing blackface under the guise of being Bob Marley for Halloween. Gaston County NAACP chapter president Chris Thomason appears to have met with the sheriff behind closed doors, and a deal was apparently worked out, whereas Thomason would attempt to sell the offended residents on the changing meaning of white people in the South wearing blackface. But that is not all. Check out the story on ProxyRacism.com, and remember, don't be a tool of racism. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and we're going to jump into our show. Man, I love that Butter Biscuit Award. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Love it, love it. So, hey, that is going to be – I can't wait to see how this unfolds. That's really tight. So, hey, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, talk about anything that we talked about yesterday – or on Monday, the big pharma or the GMO foods, definitely we can have that conversation also today. But give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, and just hit star 61. So I want to go back to some of the articles real quick before we get into the main topic of today's show. So what happened was we posted on the 31st, and if you inside of Tando Radio Show on Facebook, if you haven't seen the video, very, very important. The Fed staff proposes additional buffers for big banks, proposing aims to end too big to fail banks, saying that banks needed to be able to serve debt that would be in the 680. Excuse me, hold on one second. Let me get it right. They basically told them that they needed to have banks were $120 billion short in long-term debt coverage. They're telling you everything here. And they're telling you, if you haven't already started to unwind yourself and to strategically protect yourself and hedge yourself against the banking collapse or the devaluation of the dollar or the dollar losing purchasing power, there's no one, especially if you listen to Black Talk Radio Network and especially if you listen to Tando Radio Show. There's no one that you will be able to blame because they're telling you everything here. They're telling you that there's already major problems within the banking institution because they created it through their fraudulent practices, purposely done this. Why do they do this? They care not about what you care about. You care about something that is not relevant to them at all. Most people care about things that are not even on the overall agenda and the radar of the controlling factors, because they want you, and they schooled you, and they schooled all of us to care about things that are really irrelevant, like cash, that dollar bill. That dollar bill is created by man. It has no real intrinsical value. So, but they made you think, and they've made you in so many ways through the schooling that we get, to think that that's the end all and be all to everything, and we'll be willing to do whatever it is that we need to do to ensure that we have it, even to kill our family, to kill people that we don't know, just to do things that, you know, we would otherwise not do, because we've misplaced our overall, and this was the agenda of everything, so that we wouldn't know who we were. We've misplaced our identity. And so our free will is no longer freely ours. It's been actually captured through deceit. See, we think that cash is everything. They don't care about cash. A lot of people say follow the so-called money, and they don't even know what money is. What they say money is not money at all. They're talking about cash. You can't follow cash anywhere other than to where it's created and what it's created for manipulation. Now, you can find it, you can follow it through different small minion states and small entities that are just following an overall design purpose, but they're not really decision makers. Man created cash to control the masses. When the things that we should value, we no longer value. No longer do we, because whatever you value, you make sure that you try to get. How many of you that listen to Tando Radio Show ensure that you try to get cash? Understandably so, for, you know, to buy the things that you need. But see, the thing is that is the effect that they wanted, so that you, without knowing, you become addicted to it. And you'll give your whole life savings in it and save in it when it's going to be devalued and taking the purchasing power is going to be lost. Why? Because it never had any purchasing power outside of confidence. And most of us, if we value something, then we make sure that we try to get it. How many of our listeners actually have real money, have real silver and gold? If you knew what it was all about and knew what it could do and why it is valuable, you would change your direction and make sure that you had that, and you would have that for good reason. It's one thing to say, for someone to tell you you need to get something, then it's different to know the reason why you need to have it. Pretty soon, once this banking collapse and this dollar devalue happens, you'll know why you should have had precious metals. But it'll be too late then. It will be too late. So important that you check out that article. I posted on October the 31st. From CNBC. They're telling you everything that they're going to do this. And we are over leveraged in falsehood. And when the truth comes to bear, we go down with the lie, because we've been living the lie. Even though that most of us have been deceived in it, but guess what? We've had a questioning it, and we never followed that question all the way through, nor have we decided to make a different direction. Only conscious people do that. Only conscious people do that, and you need to be conscious. It's difficult to be conscious if you're sitting in front of a TV, because it controls your consciousness. So it's difficult for you to be conscious when you pollute your overall daily lives in that type of mind manipulation. So check out that article, really cool, and video, something that you need to know. Next one was the SDR, the yuan becoming a part of the SDR basket from the IMF. SDR, that's the special drawing rights. It's basically the overall, they're going to devalue the currencies of the world, and they're going to come up with, because this is the thing, they always crash the economies because they can do that because they created it. In order for them to crash actually the ecosystem, they have to kill it and have to wage a war against it. The difference between an economy and an ecosystem is that they can control it fully to do whatever they want. And by controlling it, that will kill people. But when it comes to the ecosystem, they have to do things to kill it. They actually have to engage in a warfare against it by poisoning it, the ecosystem actually destroying what the great creator God Almighty has made. And you have been a part of to a part of that ecosystem. Most of us don't even realize we think that we're different than the ecosystem. You're not. You're in the same position as the ecosystem. The very same position as the ecosystem, because you're a part of it. And that means that when the overall people that are in positions of power to manipulate the free will of mankind, they kill the ecosystem and they kill you too. Because they understand the whole everything, the makeup of everything. The thing is that we haven't been taught it, so we don't. And this is so important. So right now what's happening is that the IMF is thinking about adding the yuan into the SDR, which they have no choice. And you can see that that is going to happen from the City of London, which is known as the City in the financial world. It's not New York City. It's actually the City of London, one of the four city-states in the world, but there's actually even more city-states, but one of some of the known city-states in the world, where it's the financial hub.
Brother Dave, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
that's
new information to me, and I appreciate you sharing that, because that's similar to people thinking that the seat of the government of the United States, they think that that's a city. But in reality, it's a corporation. It incorporated in 1871, which we stated on your program before. But I did not know that about New York. So thank you for sharing that.
No. New York, I was saying that New York, most people hear the city and they think it's New York. But no, in the financial world, when they say the city, it's the City of London. The same, just like Washington, D.C., but you knew about that one. But no, I wasn't saying that New York was that financial, has that same immunity that those have. So, yes, Scotty, no, that was, I misspoke. I was just saying that most people think that when they hear the word the city, they think it's New York City. But in the financial world, the city is known as the City of London. That's the, that's what they call it. They call it the city. And that is one of the city-states in the world. And the one, some of the four major ones is Washington, D.C., the Vatican, Vatican City, the City of London, which is not London itself. It's a city within London. And for anyone that's ever been there, they can see all of the demonic influence that's in that area. It has its own government, its own police department, its own rules, its own laws, and within that, that confine of that space there, they have a lot of demonic influence. Satan's alley, Devil's Alley, and all of the other things that's there is because it's they're following the demonic rituals that all of these city-states follow, because they are immune from governmental rule. They are immune from anything that you think or can do. That's what they've written, but that's...
I'm sorry, I understand the clarification now, but I would also just add, Brother Dave, that is also the, human trafficking center of the world. And I'm talking about legalized human trafficking through modern day slavery and human trafficking.
Exactly.
Through Wall Street.
Exactly, Scotty. Yes, Scotty's exactly right. And this is... These practices have been going on for centuries, and the thing is that this is not governmental policies. These are nothing more than a cult, and they follow demonic rituals to the teeth. And that's why you see Washington D.C. set up the way it's set up, and that's why you see the Vatican City set up the way it's set up, and that's why you see the City of London set up the way it's set up. You look at those cities, and they all have the same influences and the same impressions and the same icons and ceremonial figureheads all over if you start to just put it all together. And then there's also the BIS, the Bank of International Settlement, known as the Central Bank of Central Bank, and that's in Basel, Switzerland. That's the fourth city-state that's not ever talked about, and that building is shaped like a boot for a very reason, is because they are the boot on the rest of the world. And so, yeah, the human trafficking comes out of the City of London. It's the drug trade comes out of the City of London. It's so much that comes out of it. The financing of all of that comes out of the war propaganda and the war movement comes out of there, and Washington, D.C. is a part of it all. It's, you know, part of the military part of it. And the thing about Washington, D.C. is that it's going to lose its city-state status. And they're going to transfer it to Beijing. It's going to be transferred to Beijing. And so this is the evolution that goes on, the controlling aspects of the world that is not really ever talked about because they don't want you to know. So very, very important. So what happens with this SDR, which is special drawing rights, and you can't get this currency because this currency is not for the common person, okay? This is sovereign wealth funds. This is sovereign funds. They want to add China as the renminbi into this basket of currency, and the U.S. has been fighting it because that means if China comes a part of the SDR, that means that they take on a reserve currency status, and that means this. The U.S. will lose its position instead of strengthening its position. And they say that they don't want this to happen, but guess what? They really do. It's all a play. And then they're going to say that they lost it and they need to fight for it, and they're going to show you why they need to fight for it, because your quality of life is going to be destroyed economically in this country. Totally. Totally, totally. There's no turning back. You may think that you are doing well now, but if you're not preparing for what's coming in the future, it's only temporary. And because we have been so addicted to cash, we don't even think it's possible. We have the most naive and ignorant sayings of all. I don't think that's going to happen. Wow. That's because you don't know what's happening. Your ignorance is speaking. And so this is why with Tando we push and bring this type of information to you guys so that you will know and you can make your own decisions on how you're going to hedge yourself appropriately. So what's happening with the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, I call them the international mother effort because that's what they do to countries. They take over countries, they get them in debt, and then they steal their resources. See, these bankers and these demonic cults that run everything, they don't care about cash. They create it. They care about resources. They care about resources. You control oil, you control nations. If you control resources, you control the world. That's what they care about. And we have no resources to defend ourselves with. But so many of us would be willing to kill some other person next to us for some cash. Because you've been trained that way, to be a docile pet instead of being a living, breathing, free and independent person. So this is big with the FDR, because what's going to happen is this, is that China's going to be brought into it. It's already been mandated through the City of London. And when that happens, many countries are going to start selling their bonds out of the City of London. Why is that important? They're going to be, China will be selling their debt from the City of London. That is what makes a country's currency strong. When other people that's using in the economy decide to have confidence in it and they start to use it, that means it's in demand. That means that the value of it is going to go up. And the value of the other currencies that are on the other side of it go the opposite direction. That means the U.S. currency is going to go down. Why is that important? Because what you're able to do with cash now, you won't be able to do in the future. Won't be able to do in the future. What's going to happen when it's going to cost you five times for just the daily, just a daily, well let's put it this way. What's going to happen when you're going to have to pay five or six times for a gallon of gas or for food? And it's not just one thing, it's everything that moves in that direction, and you're not going to be paid anymore. You're not going to get any more pay. You're going to be even your rate of pay and your pay itself is going to diminish while the prices of things are going to go up. That's because the underlying asset is still the same, but it requires that you have more cash in order to do it. You're not going to have the cash. Not going to have the cash. So when they put the SDR into the when the IMF accepts the renminbi into the SDR, and then what I expect is that China will back its currency in gold and silver, as among other things, to invoke more confidence, the U.S. dollar will be done, will be totally, totally done. And this country will have to import everything because it won't be exporting anything other than slave labor. And that means that the prices of things are going to be unobtainable. A candy bar will be $5 and $10, but you won't have the cash to get it. This is where you're going to see that people will spend 100% of whatever they have for just food and housing, and it still won't be enough. It's a very critical state that we're getting ready to go through. But if you know history, it won't be anything new to you. You would have seen this coming way in advance. So, very, very important. That's what's going on there. Next, really good article. This was sent to me. Inside the secretive circle that rules a $14 trillion market. Really good article there. Came out of Bloomberg last week. And then, of course, the Russian plane that crashed. We're going to take a look, talk about that a little bit today. Then, my man JD sent me this one, very important, on November 1st, posted this, where they killed Social Security in the late hours on the 31st. Last night while you were sleeping, the Senate voted to steal $150 billion from Social Security trust funds. Let me say this. They're just telling and they're reporting this, but they didn't steal $150 billion. They stole all of it a long time ago. And they've only allowed for it to be used until their purpose was served. That was never funded at all by them, because they knew that they were going to crash the market and they were going to have plausible deniability as to why not to pay Social Security, and as along with every single pension fund, unless you're self-sufficient yourself. You are individually funding your pension. And you have to be funding your pension outside of their system, because their whole system is going to go down, and if you're in their system, you're going to sink right along with it. And they're going to do this so fast that you won't be able to respond to it accordingly or appropriately, have the appropriate response to it. So what they're saying is this: they've already stole everything. Now they're going to give you the crisis to say why it wasn't there. Now, I'm going to say they stole it. Oh, the crisis consumed it when it was already stolen. What they've always been after, most of us think that they're after our cash once again because of our addiction to it. They care not about that. They care about your energy and your free will. That's everything. That is a resource. It's a resource that was given to you by the great creator God Almighty. Just like the resource of silver, just like the resource of gold, just like the resource of air, just like the resource of water and food. Until you start to understand that, you will not be able to understand this criminal fraud that's going on, and how you're always in the crosshairs. And it's like a quicksand that you will never, ever be able to get out of. The more you resist, the faster you will sink. That's what's really happening here. They don't care a darn. They don't give a damn about your cash or what you think about how important cash is. They created it so they can manipulate it. What they care about and they don't want you to know about is resources. And the chief resource is your free will that we surrender daily in ignorance, because we've been schooled that way and to have that train of thought. So important that we really start to wake up in this time, in this age. Hey, we got a couple of callers. Let's jump to these callers real quick. Hold on, callers. Let me get to you. I'm going to go to you right now. Welcome, callers, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. What's your question or comment, and what's your name and where you calling from? Hello, caller? 714, area code.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dave. This is Dallas here, man. California.
Hey, what's up, Dallas? How you feeling, brother?
Pretty good. I had it on mute. Yeah. Thanks, Scotty, for the network. Thank you, Brother Bad. Team Davis, for all the information you guys give us every day. And so, I have a question. I don't know if this is off topic, but what do you say? Cause I hear a lot of people, you know, a lot of, like, definitely conscious speakers telling black folks that, we need to move to Africa and stuff to get away from the government system over here. And my question was, what do you know? Because I hear both sides, and then people come from Africa, they say it's also corrupt over there. And a lot of the system that's over here is almost the same as over there, because they control that too. So what do you say about people who are like, okay, I'm going to get up and move to Africa so I can get away from America and the system?
Well, you know, a great question, Dallas, and this is just my opinion, as always, bro. You always come with some great questions. This is just my opinion. If you're going to repatriate to Africa, depending on what your reasonings are, that is pretty much the individual choice. But I would say, if you're going to go somewhere in this world trying to avoid what is going to happen here, there are some things that you really need to think about and give great thought to. One, I would say, if you're going to go to a country or if you're going to repatriate with Africa, I think that relationship should have been built over the years, so that you know exactly what you're getting into. From all of our brothers and sisters in Africa, they would love for us to return, from the ones that I've met. But you know, it's still something that has to be strategically planned out individually. But I would say it's just like, this is what we have here is paradise, and I think the most appropriate thing in which way that we should use our energy is to clean up not just one area of the world, but to clean up the whole world. And see, we always think that we can't do it because they implant within us subconsciously that we can't beat City Hall. Well, that's just like any other bully telling you that they can't that you can't beat them, so that you will not challenge. You know what I mean? There's more of us than anyone else, than there are of them and their influence. If we all move consciously to not to participate in this system and to clean up everywhere, then the whole world will return to Africa, because the whole world will be Africa. So I'm all for people repatriating themselves for whatever their reasons are, but I would say that is going to be a fix or a temporary band-aid to what the real problem is, because what's going to happen relatively soon here is that when they move into this overall war, this nuclear war that they're going to engage in, everyone throughout the world is going to be affected. Everyone right now is affected by, and they don't even talk about Fukushima any longer. They don't talk about the Gulf oil spill any longer. They don't talk about the different agricultural collapses and the ecosystem collapses that are going on right now. See, we can move ourselves to temporarily get out of the way of something. But at some point, we're going to have to collectively stand up against this whole system, because it will find you no matter where you are. Because that's just the nature of this whole thing. We need to strategically place ourselves in a position of advantage by refusing to participate in this system and changing and dismantling ourselves. And not by their means, but by our direction.
Right. Yeah, because I know, I heard before, you know, even people who do, like, want to move to Africa, I heard if you want to move there, you won't be able to get your retirement, your pensions, all that stuff be cut off. You won't be able to transfer none of that and stuff.
Brother Dave, after the break, if I may chime in, because I was just posting about this very question last night.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't even look at the time. Hold on, Dallas. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Great question. No, brother, it's never off topic. This is so, so important. And I'm glad that you called, Dallas, and brought this up. Hey, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, definitely get in on the conversation. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#, and just hit *61. And I will see you there and get right to it. Hold on, Dallas. We're going to come right back to you, and to the other caller that just dropped. Give us a call back. And we'll get you on right after Dallas. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back in 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is *549032#. 549032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and we're having a show today. We're going to get into the topics, into the main part of the show right after this. But my man Dallas had a great question about repatriating to Africa. Great, great question. I think if you're going to do it for your own individual reasons, who am I or anyone else to say no? Great move. As long as you know exactly everything that you're getting into, and we're going to talk about some of those things. But I really think that we should strategically place ourselves in a position of advantage. And this is something that we need to deal with, because the advent of events are going to be global events. And we need to totally change and dismantle this system before we go extinct. And when I mean extinct, I'm not just speaking of physical extinction. I'm talking about mental extinction, because they are moving to ways in which your RNA and your DNA and your very free will no longer be under your control. This is the state that we're in. This is the ultimate eugenics and depopulation program while still having people here. One of the things about, and I'm going to get to Scotty real quick, but one of the things I want to say that we really need to notice when they talk about the robots, they're not talking about mechanical robots. They're talking about living human beings that act like robots. That is the real push. And they're doing everything medically. They're doing everything food-wise. They're doing everything war-wise and doing everything economically to invoke that type of zombieism among the general population. They're not going to have artificial intelligence. They're going to have people that are no longer resembling a living spirit. They're going to control so that you will lose your identity to your spirit. That is the true mark of the beast. But hey, Scotty, wanted to chime in. Scotty, go ahead.
If I understand the premise of the question correctly, which I have heard many times before, and I understand the question and where it's coming from, and so I am not saying anything negative about those with those thoughts. But I look at the system of racism and white supremacy that we face here in North America on this continent as being a global system. Neely Fuller Jr. teaches in his compensatory code book that it is a global system of racism and white supremacy. And in fact, it is when you start looking at it in turn. When you look at what Dave talks about, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and all of these are are what is the they are agencies within the global framework of white supremacy, and they practice racism against non-white countries, just like we talk about, you know, we are the victims of predatory loans here in the United States. Well, think about non-white nations being, entire nations being victims of predatory loans from the International Monetary Fund.
Right.
So there is poverty here. There is poverty everywhere, and there's a lot of poverty in Africa. But I'm not going. But you also have, like Dave said, he gave great advice. Make sure you have already done your due diligence and research, and even made some connections over there, so that you know you're basically going somewhere where people don't know you, you don't know them, you don't know the landscape. And so that can be very difficult when you change your environment if you're not prepared for that and you don't have anyone already over there to help you make that transition. I know a sister from Tennessee who is over there in Ghana now. But in South Africa, let's say some people say, well, let's go to South Africa. Well, South Africa is still under a great level of racism and white supremacy and oppression by the white settler class that still lives in that country. But you also have a problem with proxy racism, where you may have seen the news where you had these Zulu tribes that are, many of them are in parts of South Africa, were burning other Africans from different nations, burning them to death because they were looking at them the same way that these white racists look at people coming up from South America. You know, you're coming to take our jobs and take our resources. So they don't even view each other as a brotherhood or a sisterhood or as one family on the continent. And so I think it that we need to make sure that we don't have this delusional or incorrect picture of what is going on that continent. Private prison and slavery. After this program, New Abolitionist Radio comes on. We have talked about the largest employer in Africa is, guess what? Private Prison Corporation out of Britain called G4S. And so everything that we face here, they're facing there. And look at all the boatloads of Africans that are dying of trying to escape from Africa and make it to Europe because, again, of a lack of resources. Now, again, all of Africa isn't like that, all of Africa. But don't think there's anywhere in this world that you can go and escape the system. I mean, I'm sure you could probably find a sparsely populated island somewhere, and you know, you might not be as impacted as us who are in the belly of the beast. But, you know, we got to have an accurate picture. And then let me say this. A lot of African-descended people in the United States do not know who they are. A lot of us think that just because we have melanated skin and we have African roots and whatnot, that we are all descendants of enslaved Africans. And that is simply not true. There has always been free Africans on this continent going back centuries. Okay, going back centuries. Now, again, it's important that we do the research and become to know our and know ourselves, whether that's through DNA testing, whether that is doing what they call that family tree type stuff using them websites. Because, you know, at one time I was wanting to leave. I wasn't thinking about going. Well, I thought about going to Africa, but then I was like, well, I'd rather go to Cuba. I'd rather go to Cuba because maybe I could follow in the footsteps of Robert F. Williams, who was also from here, and be broadcasting propaganda messages from Cuba just like he did to our people here, like I'm doing now through Black Talk Radio Network and digital radio. But then I just recently started coming into knowledge about not only my indigenous blood ties to this land as a descendant of a Cherokee woman who was married into an American colonist family, and I'm thinking she had to assimilate in order to escape being put on the Trail of Tears. But that family that she married into were also prominent American revolutionaries. I mean, that they gave a lot of financial wealth and supplies, as well as one of the ancestors was in the North Carolina militias that participated in the American Revolutionary War. Now, I could deny that bloodline because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, in my opinion, my Scott-Irish American Revolutionary ancestor was still practicing racism and white supremacy. But I can act like, okay, I'm so ashamed of that and not use the benefits of that brings, being that they were granted large amount of land grants, which have largely been stolen, because guess what? The vast majority of his descendants in this county, on this land I'm on right now, are now black. Because the other two brothers who were white, who had white families, they did not have very large families. I only know of two girls that I went to high school with. Two of they would accurately be called my cousins. My great aunt told me these were my cousins. I didn't understand why she was telling me that at the time until I just recently found out that we are the descendants of a person that we call American Revolutionary. So like this other person told me, I'm going to use that white privilege along with the rest of my family members, using any kind of legal means. All options are on the table to get the land back that was stolen from us. We're not satisfied with what they allowed us to keep. We want what was stolen from us, and the thief shall repay. All right. So I said all of that to say this. We as African people, or black people here in the United States, we do not know a lot of our ties to this land, and we're thinking it's not our land. When and I'll add this about the area I live in.
Right.
400 free African descendant American Revolutionary soldiers fought in the American Revolution. These were free black people, and it was a lot of them here. Never enslaved. They were colonists, just like the European colonists. And that is hidden from us because they have done many of us like they've done my own family and stolen a lot of land and muddied up the titles. But I'm not leaving nothing to anyone. We are a global people. The entire planet belongs to non-white people, so I'm not leaving.
You know, and I'm glad you shared that with us, Scotty, because that is so important. Because if you really think about it, look at the overall history of the Omaks. You know, everywhere is Africa. Everywhere is the continent of Africa. And if you do a lot of traveling throughout the world, you see how many black people are everywhere. Everywhere is ours, you know. And, you know, we are just a part of this. But I'm not, you know, nor is Scotty. You know, if you want to repatriate to Africa, man, we much love, much respect, and full support. You're doing the things that you're doing it.
Stay in touch with us who are here so we can establish lines of trade.
Yeah. Exactly. That has got to happen because the relationship has to continue. Now, just to answer Dallas' question, and I want to say this, it's very critical at this time and at these moments that if you are thinking about repatriating anywhere, there are strategical things that you have to account for when this dollar collapses and when this war starts. You have to make sure that you're not going to go to a country that is dependent on the United States dollar, because if you are, you're going to go into a country that is going to be adversely affected by that downturn and that devaluation of that dollar, and they're going to look at you as someone that is a part of the problem and not part of the solution. They're going to hold bitter feelings to you. One, you don't know the land, you don't know the people. But if you've been doing this, you know, because I have an aunt that is in Ghana, has been there forever. She did it the correct way. She did it a long time ago, established ties and everything else. If you can get with people such as that is
great. Oh, Brother
More
Dave, one last important point. Ghana is one of two countries that I know of in Africa that will give land to repatriated Africans. And again, you may not be the descendants of an enslaved African, but they don't know that. So if you want to go over there and get some free land, go for it. So I want people to know that resource, because she now has, she built a house and she's running a farm.
Yeah. My aunt is actually doing that, and she's well established there. And the thing is that you have to realize when you go to these places, you want to make sure that you're going into a situation that you're prepared for. From infrastructure to development and everything else. Africa is highly developed, but Africa, the continent of Africa, depending on where you are, is a huge continent. It's a huge continent, and you don't know all of the intrinsical disputes that a country has within its borders or how, you know, everything is working out. So there's a lot of things to contest with and to strategically plan out, but I'm going to tell you this. Africa wants to do business with you, and we need to take advantage of that while we can, and while we have the capability and the means to. This is why one of the things with Gerald is so important that we will be developing with Gerald, and we're going to bring Gerald back on, and it's so important. So, yeah, I'm all for it if you really just have to think of why you're doing it. But if you're leaving this country to escape what's happening, if you're leaving to escape what's happening here, then you need to have a strategy for that is going to be optimum for your overall success. Because the last thing you want to do, and if you're ever in a foreign country, because believe me, you will be a foreigner until you can integrate yourself into that whole cultural society. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want to get injured. You don't want to get in trouble. And you don't want to go broke. Because there will be no, let me tell you something, there will be no aid for you at all. And then you may not be able to get back to a position where you can mitigate some of the problems. So it's a great question, Dallas. I'm all for it if you just, you know, do your due diligence on everything. And I hope we answered your question. I know it was a long way. Did you any response, Dallas, that you wanted to make?
No, I'm not. Y'all broken down, man, real good. And that was, I was just saying my last thing I was saying, you know, like people who wants to also leave, and if you have a retirement or pensions.
Yeah, put that up, Dallas.
Oh, that's going to be cut off, because the U.S. already said that you try to move, as a matter of fact, to Africa, all your retirement and pensions, 401k, is going to be cut off.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Dallas, because it's an important thing. We need to talk about this for a second. Listen, if you don't hold it, you don't own it. And even if, you know, when things do, let's say you go to another country, you repatriate to Africa. Everything could be great, great, but if you're depending on some financial assistance from here, or you have financial investments here, or you have financial ties to here, those ties are going to be broke off. And one of the things you don't want to get in a foreign country is you don't want to go broke. You don't want to get sick. You don't want to get injured. You don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to go broke. Because if you do, you will find out quickly that you're in a land that you know not, and you're going to be a burden. And different people handle burdens different. You better look at how that country handles burdens. One of the places, I'm going to tell you, one place you don't never want to go broke in is in Dubai. All these people talk about how great Dubai is. Yeah, Dubai is great, but you better not go broke, and you better not pay someone there, else you'll be put on the streets and put in the jail immediately. You got to know these cultural things, so it's so important. And what's going to happen when the dollar collapses for all of us, that for all of those that are living in foreign countries, they are going to be drastically affected, because they're not going to get they're going to be the first one to be cut off. So this is why that established ties have to be nurtured and developed way before you get there. It actually, I believe the best way to do it is a 10-year process, 10, 15-year, 20-year process. And hopefully you've done it in the past 15 years, then you have a greater chance of being accepted. Because you will still be a foreigner, especially if the only tongue that you speak is the one that you learned here. You put yourself in a very, very peculiar, dangerous, and it's not a position of advantage. So it's just some of the things you need to think about. Man, Dallas, great question, dude. And, you know, so keep listening, man. Anything else?
No, that's it, man. Thank you so much. I'm going to sit back and listen.
Okay. Much love, much respect, Dallas. Keep listening, man. Great, great, great question from Dallas. Let's go to another caller. I don't want to keep these callers waiting. Here we go. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? What's your question or comment?
Hey, Brother Davis. Brother Davis, man.
Brother Davis, what's going on?
Good. I was listening to that last caller, and I'm wanting to know that there are great opportunities right now for other countries in Africa, not just Ghana. There's a lot of opportunities right all over, but the reality is you've got to come with something that they can literally value in order to find some stability. Now, let me give you an understanding. If you say you have a hobby, and say your hobby is fish farming, okay, you can go over there and start a whole new industry, mm-hmm. and the country will wholly embrace you because you are giving them an avenue in order to grow, okay? Well, my wife and I, we drive truck, and we have a vast background in that. And we're looking at opportunities over there so that maybe could possibly go over there and start building schools. But I don't want people to get the wrong impression. So if you think you're going to leave America and go over to Africa without America having an opinion, you're wrong, first of all. Second of all, you repatriate yourself, that means you're giving up your American citizenship. You want to seriously consider that, because make no mistake, when America comes out of this, it's still going to be one of the most highest qualities of living on the planet. Now, why? Because the infrastructure is already there. Okay? Now, in Africa, you are going to have to adjust to a lifestyle that you are not used to, one. And two, you will begin to realize how spoiled you have become, which is fine. People adjust to that. But you got to be prepared to adjust to that. Ghana has given land for at the repatriating African Americans for a long time, and some of them don't even have to repatriate. All they have to do is sustain a dual citizenship. But many of them that have gone over and gotten the land have also come back to America. So you have to consider the concept of preparation and going over there unprepared, because if you go over there unprepared and you're talking about repatriation, and then you come back to America can look at you from many different shades. I mean, from a point of being a traitor to one who's literally disavowed their citizenship. So you may be creating a greater problem than you think. So all we want you to do is make sure that if you decide to make this move, that you go ahead and look into some of these avenues that may offer you, that may have a hobby or special skill that can be incorporated and offer the economy a residual for your presence. Because that way, you will be greeted wholeheartedly. And they will embrace not only the skill set that you bring, but they will embrace everybody that comes with you, your family and that sort of thing, because they're going to want you to fit. And when they want you to fit, it's a much easier transition than you going over there and you have no idea what something basic like Swinglish means. And Swinglish is it's a mix between Swahili and English that is talked very common in a lot of the countries over there. But understand, that is a transition. That can be an obstacle for somebody who can just speak English. Because if you've been in Spanish circles there, over here, when people start talking Spanish, you don't know what they're saying. So that can literally be an obstacle. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just letting you know there's a lot of opportunities out here. If you do your due diligence first, you may find yourself a doorway opening saying, listen, we'll embrace what you want. Like David tell you, me and my wife have definitely been trying to open that door to be able to go over there, and if not, start a truck driving school, be a part of maybe a cooperation, maybe where some truckers, some plumbers, some electricians, and all of that, we could get together with a billionaire and put all of those vocations in one facility, diesel mechanics. That way, when we go over there to bring our specialties into play, we can literally develop those skills in the local indigenous population. See, a lot of people, especially here in America, what you don't realize is that all of that boom that's going on in Africa, that's going on in Africa, but the Africans aren't benefiting by it. There is an elite group that is benefiting by it. If you look into the common Africans, they do not have the skill set. So we're looking for an avenue that we can go over and offer the common African an opportunity to learn the skill set to be able to the economy or the tax-paying base. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. The opportunities are there. It's about making the right connections, going through the process. And if you don't have your passport by now, you might have just shot yourself in the foot. I just want to put that out there because I don't want nobody to be discouraged. But by no means do you give up your American citizenship based on your fear. Because really, that's what they want. They want you to be scared of them. Because guess what? When you're scared of them, you're less of a problem. They already know you fear. They fear people like me who and Dave and Scotty who are boldly speaking out against what they're doing, letting them know that we are dissatisfied with these circumstances because, you know what? They don't know what we're going to do next.
Right.
They don't know if we're trying to organize. But what we're trying to do is just bring common sense into chaos so that we can find some way to organize. So be blessed, Brother Dallas. Whatever you do, brother, if we can help you, please give Tando a call. And we'll try to open whatever doors we can in reference to how we can represent, how we can present to you the avenues that we're aware of. That's one of the reasons why I mentioned about passport. Because
right.
I'm going to tell you now, in America, in the next 2 to 6 months, you're going to have more than one ID to move around the country. And I've been telling people that for the longest time.
Yep.
But I don't know if you noticed it or not, but about maybe a month ago in the Northeast, there are states that are saying you can't even fly domestically if you don't have a passport.
Yep.
So literally they're starting to put the screws on you now. But those who are conscious already have passports. They already have a minimal amount of gold and silver because mm-hmm. they're positioning themselves. You can never be fully prepared for destruction and disaster, but you can position yourself so that you can make this as smooth a transition as you possibly can. And brother, I'm going to tell you, my heart goes out to you. I wish you all the best. If there's anything we can help, hit us back. Peace.
Man, brother Davis, hold on, brother Davis, real quick.
Hey, I got a question for Brother Davis, too.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Scotty. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm talking a lot because I'm trying to stay awake because I haven't been asleep. You know what I'm saying?
Scotty, you good, man.
Yeah, so I'm talking a lot. But Brother Davis, I got peoples down there in South Carolina. Max Parthas, he'll be on air right after Tando. He lives in South Carolina. There's a network of Black Resistance in South Carolina, here in North Carolina, where I am. And so any way that we can hook up and get you in the network since you're going to be on that farm, because I'm not leaving here. I'm not running. We don't have a history of leaving and running. Of course, they're not going to teach our resistance, but Black Union Soldiers was kicking ass all over down here. Okay. They was kicking ass. They had white officers, but, you know, they was doing the shooting and the fighting. And so there is, we have a history of resistance. We help establish this country. And so I'm not abandoning any of that. And again, the trick that they play on Black people is to get every, they, the way the media puts it out there is every last one of us, we assume that we are the descendant of enslaved Africans. Okay. But we are not. You know, the work, the research has been done on Black gentrification and after Reconstruction and what they didn't give and whatnot. But we have to always resist. I'm not running from these people, man. And that's why I'm former military, a lot of former military in my family. I know you former military, and I need to get back to, putting out propaganda costs and telling them soldiers and asking them the same question that I asked my squad, you know, the brothers in the squad when the LA rebellions was going on. If they deployed us and gave us live rounds and gave us orders to shoot to kill, what would you do? And I'm gonna share this last story, and then I'm gonna shut up. But there is a staff sergeant. There's a white staff sergeant who I was stationed in the Gulf War with, he's lucky he didn't get thrown off of a several story high building. You know what I'm saying, by me and mm-hmm. his other brother. But I just don't have murder in me. But he just don't know how. I couldn't cross that line. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
We have to resist wherever we are, whatever positions we in. Okay, we have to resist, and we have to be talking to our family members, because if we really truly look at it, the enemy is us.
Right, Scotty.
Absolutely.
Right, Scotty.
Absolutely. And you know what, Brother Scotty? I just bought a farm down in South Carolina. I tell you anything?
Not going nowhere.
I expect this to hit the fan, but literally, this is my land. I'm an old school veteran. I come out the jungles of Vietnam. I'm one of those people who had PTSD until I found somebody who can give me sanity. Okay? But now that I got it, and I look back and say, I've heard you say many a time when I was a young man and I made that decision. You're absolutely right, but now we have matured. Their biggest fear is that we have matured with the still have that skill set. And that's what's scared of. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't know this, but over 240,000 veterans have been released from the military in the last 4 to 5 years that have literally no right to benefits.
They're in jail. I'm going to shut up. New Abolitionist Radio
absolutely.
Coming on. But they're in prison.
Absolutely.
70-something percent. This was put out by the veterans, you know, one of them veteran groups. But 70% of the jails is veterans from the last two conflicts. I hesitate to call them war, even though they was waging war, you know, because it was illegally done and whatnot. The Bush doctrine.
I know your heart.
But you know, man. So yeah.
Go ahead, Brother David.
But the bottom line is, in any circumstance, there are those and those who may appear to be the few for the masses who don't know, who literally are preparing for what is to come on many levels. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to take what's mine, how can I show you who I am if I don't do nothing? Is it about the old saying, die on your feet and live on your knees?
That's right.
I can't live on my knees. I'm sorry. I mean, I love the quality of life I have. I love my family, but I would do my family better justice if they see me die on my feet.
That's right.
Live on my knees.
That's right.
Okay, look, brothers, I'm gonna get in the back.
Wait. Hold on, brother Davis. You and Scotty hit it out the park. One of the things that I wanted to say is, you know, like Scotty had mentioned gentrification, and I want to say this is that gentrification only starts when black people move out, not when white people move in. That's the thing there. And this is, you know, I'm in full agreement, you know, and I know that's what Dallas was talking about, because he is just like us. And it's so, like Brother David said, it's so many of us because, you know, we understand that we have over 75 to 85% of our strength. Now we have the wisdom to go along with it. We are very formidable, you know, not even a threat. We are a formidable decommissioning. We have formidable decommissioning capabilities beyond their capabilities, even of the technology that's been stolen throughout the years and hidden, you know, because our human free will is stronger than anything that they have. And, you know, Brother David said something about leaving the country, be careful where you go, make sure you know, there's a lot of things to consider when you do that, because one of the things that's going to happen is that when this war jumps off, immediately, if you go to a BRIC nation country, you are going to be known as harboring an enemy. Okay, it's also an alliance with an enemy, and there's so many things that you can open yourself up to. You know, so you have to be able to understand that, because this whole thing is going to totally change, and if you haven't made some real historical bonds with people outside of this country and in the country that you want to repatriate to or move to, you're putting yourself at great disadvantage, because you're putting yourself in a position where you will be dependent upon the people around you instead of being an asset. That's what Brother Davis was saying. If you're going to go to Africa, make sure you go as an asset. And I'm going to tell you, Ghana and a bunch of other places need individuals that have intrinsical skills to help develop the country, to help develop the economy, to help develop the overall agenda. But the key to this whole thing is just what Brother Davis was saying, is that you have to go with the ability that you are going to bring something. It's just like prepping here. Do not bring on someone that doesn't have anything, and it's because they're only going to look at you as a problem to get to the stuff that they need to survive. And if they're not bringing anything, they are going to become a problem. When they become a problem, they're going to be one that is embedded with you. It's a different form. And so it's so, so important. And Brother Scotty and Brother Davis gave great, great advice. As always, we need to heed to this. This is why we have Kando. This is why we have Black Talk Radio Network. This is our overall agenda here. So, Brother Davis, hold on. I'm going to go to this other caller real quick, if you can. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? What's your question or comment?
Hey, this is me, Bragg.
Brother Bragg, what's going on? Please, brother, go ahead.
Well, you know, I've been looking into that repatriating to Africa, too, but let me make three things quite clear. My people come from Louisiana. They've been there a long time. I don't know. I know my grandmother was an Indian, so it's much stuff go with that, but my other thing is that we are like any other people. We can't call ourselves Americans like other people call themselves Americans, but we should be able to come and go as we please wherever we want to come and go.
Right.
And without fear, because if they're killing you like you animals over here, you're already in fear. You know that you're being preyed upon. So let's not scare each other by where we can't come and go, because see, I walk this thing, I go wherever I want to. If I don't really like flying, but if I did fly, I would go to Africa. Only one big trip I'm going to make, I want to go to Egypt. But other than that, I'll go anywhere. I'll deal with any people. Any people. I done dealt with the worst people in the world. I dealt with Americans, white folks. So why can't I go anywhere? I can go anywhere. I'm qualified that way. So don't speak it like that and have brothers scared to try something new. Never be scared to try anything different.
No, you know, I didn't mean it that way, planet. Brother Braggs.
You can find us anywhere on this planet.
That's why I said the planet is ours. The planet belongs to non-white people, a different melanation. But that's why I said that. So I'm not running. I'm not going. But since the war is global, that's being waged against black people, primarily black people, then we need troops all over the world. Then that's why I'm stressing the networking.
That need a universal mindset to stop all this killing of black people all over the world.
Right, exactly.
We're supposed to come and go as we
please. Exactly. Thank
you. I'm talking about everywhere. Killing brothers in Brazil and in the papaya, and they're killing these brothers wholesale. The whole thing about this whole dynamic is they want to grab land all over the world. It's all about a massive land grab. They got us in America. They tell some of these stories. We probably were sitting on this land. I've seen some maps that say that Ethiopia, the ocean of Ethiopia, this blows my mind, where the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, it's the ocean of Ethiopia. Hmm. You got mounds in Monroe, Louisiana. You got mounds in Mexico. These are pyramids.
Yep.
Now, this is from our people. So whether you Indian or African, we are African-based people.
Exactly.
Our ancestors, first ancestors who came from Africa came over here. So it's all of our world. So don't never let nobody get it twisted. We go where we want to go.
But you have to always scout ahead.
That's where we go.
You can't walk, you know,
all I'm saying.
Yeah, you always got to scout ahead and have contacts on the ground or boots on the ground before you just jump out by yourself. Because look at what happened to Malcolm X's grandson when he went down there to Mexico. Okay, so that's...
Well, you know what? Remember the subversive people you deal with, too.
Exactly.
And that's another thing. You guys know how these guys operate. His father was a great... He probably was becoming a great man. He was a threat. But anybody that becomes a threat, nothing has changed. They still got... ML, mind control, everything is in effect. Everything is a full effect.
Hey, that's I saw this article. Hey, you mentioned a land grab, what they doing. You talking about they
massive land grab.
Yeah, they are. And it's mostly through the private prisons. They are real estate companies like the GEO Group and stuff. Again, New Abolitionist Radio about to come on, Max and Johanna. I tell y'all, we talk about it 24/7. So, I mean, you know, Brother Braggs. But let's. How about we? And people have talked about the strategy of us doing a land grab through collective economics, and that is there's examples of that history all throughout there, throughout on this continent, And so it's things that worked in the past, but I'm telling you, man, our ancestors were dealing with a much more vicious beast than what we, you know, and then
it's
the way
more
the law.
Sophisticated. They're not going to come out overtly and show you.
But they quietly doing it. I think they're killing like 500 or 600 black people a year. I'm talking about police terrorism. And then that's an understatement because they aren't even required to report. So there's little small town police departments like where I live in rural areas where it's like maybe only six or seven cops. But I'm telling you, they ain't doing nothing like that where we live. Okay, and so it's what you're gonna tolerate, man. And I think it was Frederick Douglass that said that the tyranny, the limits of tyrants is defined by the limit, the tolerance of the oppressed. You know,
yep.
I paraphrased that. I butchered it, but I was close. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Power concedes nothing unless you make demands. See, all that go hand in hand. Power concedes nothing unless you make demands on power.
Yeah, you know,
the people
are
the real power, but the people don't know that they are power. I really don't understand how we can fall this far that we don't know that we are the power.
We are it.
And we can change everything with just will. I mean, I always talk about will. It sounds crazy, but you understand what I'm talking about. The will. We can move all the people. We can do all kinds of things with based on pure will. We're not talking about money. It's based on determination and will.
That's it.
But that takes action. That takes movement. That takes motion.
Yep. That's the energy. Hey,
add something here, brothers? Can I add something?
Yeah. Without
why,
that, go ahead,
because the people lack vision. And the reason why they lack vision is because of television. You cannot pump 24/7 images that are not your own into someone's brain and think they're not going to grasp or literally incorporate some of those visions in their daily activity. What they fail to realize is it's a psychological implant to keep them in that state. But now they're waking up on a regular basis. See, so one of the reasons why I got a farmer is so that we can start growing organics now so that when the need comes and the armies begin to arise, there will be supplies. We can't look at ourselves in a state of, well, I got to wait to them. No. We ain't got no time to wait. Take your personal initiative, get your plan on the road. That way, as the door opens up, you can say, here, come on over here. And how they get there, you may have to devise that at a later date. But not everybody, and let me make very clear, not everybody's going to live through this because the predominantly amount of them have no vision. So, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't trying to discourage the brother not to leave the country if that's what he chooses to do. But me personally, when I was in the middle of mud up to my butt shooting at people I didn't even know, I worked for this spot and I'm going to keep this spot whether they like it or not.
Right.
Y'all be blessed. I'm going to sit back and mute, man.
No, you're absolutely right. And I know that that's what everyone was saying, and it's been reaffirmed by all three of us is that, you know, this planet, you know, if you look at one of the things just before we get ready to go to this other caller, Brother Davis and Brother Braggs is absolutely right, and Scotty's right. You know, Brother Davis talked about the television, you know, because let me tell you, the television will give you visionary cataracts so you can't see. And, you know, Brother Braggs is so right. This whole planet is ours. And, you know, I really, whenever you travel, if you know anyone that's traveled all over the world, what's one of the things that you see as you travel all over the world? You see black people everywhere. And predominantly black people. And I'm not talking about black people that are just claiming themselves as being black. Because let me tell you something. A lot of people will say that they're not black because they'll say that they're from, let's say, Mexico. Or they're from, you know, they'll say that they're Mexican. Or they'll say that they're a Venezuelan. They'll say they're Brazilian. They'll say that they're Indian. They'll say that they're this or that. No, you're black. Because race does not have a nationality. Okay, there is no nationality when it comes to race. But see, the programming of the agenda wants us to do that so we'll divide ourselves and won't look at our common denominator, and that's being who we really are. And that's so, so important. Let me tell you something. There is no nationality that is a race. Whenever you say you come from a certain country that has been created by the corporations of the government, that is not a part of the ecosystem, okay? That is not part of the ecosystem. We got another caller. Hold on, Brother Braggs and Scotty and And Brother Davis, let's go to this other caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What is your question or comment that you would like to make?
Hey, I'm A.N. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Doing well, man. Go ahead.
Good to hear your voice, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to see what you guys, I hear you guys talking about the world and going abroad. I mean, what do you guys think about black people going to Africa and getting land and having our own nation state? So like in Israel for black people, you know, so where we, somewhere where we can get land, infrastructure, and nationhood of our own that we can control from top to bottom, legislate policy, create initiatives, use
How Liberia was founded, Carl? I don't mean to interrupt. Just wanted, because you made an important point. That was how Liberia was established. Because Lincoln tried, he was a racist white supremacist, and he was promoting that all Africans, all black people, be sent. Well, the enslaved Africans sent back to Africa, and that's how nation states like Liberia. But then again, the long reach of racism and white supremacy, based right here in USA, behind these enemy lines, reached out and touched them to where they just found offshore oil deposits off of Liberia after they went through this Ebola, and they allow European corporation to handle all the processing and the pulling it out the ground and all of that. And you know what their cut is out of what ultimately what they pull out per year?
5%.
5%.
5%.
Who are you going to blame on?
See, that's the whole thing right there is resources. I just want to say this to the brother. Great question about the nation states. But I would say it this way. That'd be, you know, that's what you want to do. That's great. But we already have a nation state that we're neglecting. It's the one that we have in Los Angeles. It's the one that we have in Chicago. It's the one that we have in San Diego. It's the one that we have in New Jersey and all over.
We're a nation within a nation right here. We should be doing that nation state right here.
I'll let you finish. And so I totally agree with, yes, that's great if that's what we want to do. But I think the also thing that we need to look at is not giving up anything where we are right now. Because one of the things that I learned as a young man is that you take care of what you have now before you ask for anything more. And we have to take care of where we are right now, first and foremost, in my opinion. But I'm totally supportive.
Okay. Go ahead, bro. This is my issue with that. You said San Diego, Los Angeles. We don't have anything because we have a situation out here where we say, okay, this is our community. We built this up, blah, blah, blah. This is where I grew up on such and such street. You even got gang members claiming streets and blocks, and we say, I'm from this place. But all you're doing is you're waiting on – you're a white person feeling like, you know what, we moved out because we were scared of blacks before, but I'm 20 minutes away from everything, and they done built a lot of stuff in the city, so I want to come back. And as soon as they want to come back, they have all these different ways to move you out, move you around, gentrify you, and they completely own what you're doing. Eminent domain, at first they didn't know any better. They said, all right, listen, we have to burn things down. We got to burn Rosewood, burn Durham, North Carolina. We have to burn Black Wall Street. But then they said, you
all
know,
massive theft. Remember, all massive theft.
But they said, we don't have to burn it. We'll just use eminent domain, build freeways over it, displace some people on the move, because we own and run the policy. We don't own anything. So we're talking on this radio show. I got Brilliant Brothers on here. Tando, Scotty. We all know about Claude Anderson, John Henry Clark, all of that. But you could walk down any black neighborhood, any street, and hey, and they're knocking on the door and say, have you ever heard of John Henry Clark? Have you ever heard of Amos Wilson? And none of them will know because we don't control the policy of what black people in mass know and consume here. We don't own it here.
Let me share information. That's what ultimately I'm doing is sharing information with you. We have all these black attorneys in different fields, including land and law and all of that. But we don't research these records. And we're not, you know, because these have been illegally done. And let me tell you how I know it was done to us. And we're because one of my cousins, my second cousin, he, like, just went to the woods. He picked a spot in some wooded areas and like went to the bank and said, give me a loan for this house, to build my house, clear this land and whatnot. And so first they turned him down, but then when he pressed them on who he was and whatnot, see them banks and white supremacists muddied up titles. See, legal yep. people know that, you know what I'm saying? And so in one of the counties here in North Carolina, this was like maybe 2-3 years ago, they pulled records out of an old courthouse after they then built a new courthouse, and these were deeds and land titles. Do you know they put them things in the middle of the street and set them on fire? This was not national news. This was not right. national mm-hmm. news. And that has not been done where I am. But so anybody, I would recommend moving to Gaston County, North Carolina. Yeah, we got some rebel flag waving white supremacists, but go to Black Talk Radio News and just type in Gaston County, because there's actually the shooting war has started. And I have documented that with a 911 call that I got from the Gaston County Police when the flag was being brought down in South Carolina after the assassination of the state senator Pinckney and the murder of all those people by that vicious white supremacist terrorist Dylan Roof. So that flag was coming down. All right, it was coming down, and there was some violence when those KKK had their little, you know, protest. And those KKK came from North Carolina. And Anonymous mm-hmm. need to go ahead and hurry up and vet that list they got of the KKK members. But, man, our people constantly being at war, but the masses just don't realize.
Okay, but Scotty, but that's not even those. Okay, you're talking about the old white supremacists. That's the white supremacists that lost. The extremists, rebel flag, the guys.
Right.
Yeah, they lost.
So anyway, they rolled into. They tried to terrorize these black kids, teenagers that had went to a Walmart. And they had, was all having their rallies, you know, around these parts, and cause that flag was coming down. So they chased these 14-15-year-old kids. They were in their big trucks that they go in the mud with, you know, with the rebel flag on the back, and they was revving their engines. It was like 7 or 8 of them, man. And so those kids cut through a path and ran up to the street to run home, and these trucks came after them. And then, you know, it was reported to the police. They trying to say, you know, they can't prove a law was broken, even though they acknowledge that these kids were menaced. That's a misdemeanor, menacing. You can't stalk people. You can't menace children. And so where the black law enforcement officers, where the black legal lawyers? I know they're out there. Okay, they're out there because we talk to them on this network. And so we are not defeated, man. It's just whether or not we want to put the resources in to get, you know, if we want to go the legal route, man, and take our land back. And, you know, they doing land grabs, talk about over there. Man, I'm ready to do a land grab right here in Gaston County. Y'all invited. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Can I add something to this? Yo, man, I used to live at 42nd and Imperial. I was one of the original people. I used to hang out at the Green Cat out there in San Diego. I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, that was just a double murder.
Okay, let me open the door for your knowledge factors, everybody. There's a book out called Black Man, African, Moors. Now, this literally is a book that talks about how the African that was in America, when Europeans first got here, they were called Moors, and they established a nation that literally has a contract with the Constitution, but it literally has been disavowed. That's why you have the Moors always going to court based on this here agreement that Americans made with the Moors. Now, everybody that has a name in America, your name is extended in a registry, which goes into Europe. So understand, my name is David. So they think that that is a reflection of the slave owners that used to own my family. So anything that we have at our death, that we do, and you notice most, if there's any argument, it goes to probate. Well, they go to probate so the state can take it over. The state will keep it in probate so people die off, and then that
monies or whatever it is redistributed. So if you're a Christian, a portion of it goes to the Vatican. If you're since I'm a Davis, a portion of it will go to Europe because it's a European last name, and it's a slave registry. We need to do our due diligence in order to understand the importance of being a nation and everybody else that has received any kind of reparations from establishing as a nation.
But you can't be a nation if you can't even protect anything. So how can you protect
because we got 2 minutes left, because we got to get ready for a new abolition radio that's coming up. Brother, go ahead. You got 1 minute, then I want to end it off, and then because we got to get ready to go to the next show. But go ahead.
I was saying is you can't be a nation when you can't protect what you're doing. We can protect it, and you can go through little feuds with people who are local and nearby you, but you can't. You already are passively accepting eminent domain when you operate a legitimate business. So you already accepting that they can take over your business. You're accepting that the EPA can come in, regulate your farm, and say your pH balance is off, we're shutting you down. You passively are accepting that just by running a legitimate business. So you need your own nation where people can't come and shut you down, and it's against the rules. So you can't protect it, and you're under their jurisdiction. You're talking about little feuds with local people. You're not even dealing with the military or the police.
Collective land buying, brother, and land trust. Just look up land trust. Do some research on land trust. That's a strategy that I discovered that people have used to combat what you're talking about. But you brought up great questions, though, making people think.
I want to end with this, brother. Great question. Looks like we need to have this again. And I want you to call back because it's very involved, because I know Brother Davis, Brother Braggs, and everything else. I want to thank you guys. Scotty has some great input. But see, one of the things, brother, and I hope you take this correctly, because I realize who you are. And one of the things that you were saying too much, or you were saying they, listen, if you continue to play by their rules, they will rule. It comes to the point where you are a nation state wherever you are. But it hasn't been invoked, because what we do is we invoke it by our civil rights, which is nullified by exactions. You have to establish your primary and absolute rights, which is something that there is no legal writing or legal mandate that can supersede that. We have to stop saying what they can do and playing by their rules, because they will rule. We have to establish our nation state, wherever you want to do it. If you want to go to North Carolina, Africa, or wherever, that's great. But the onus comes back to you, the individual, so that you know how powerful you are. And you need to start saying, no, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to participate. And once that happens, let me tell you something. There is no standing army in the world that can beat the people. And it takes the individual to set the precedent that the others will emulate. And it needs you to start that movement right there in San Diego. Because I'm going to tell you, you could go to another country, and this is the worst time to do that right now. And I'm going to tell you why. Because to establish another country, that means that you're going to have to establish a charter, and you're going to have to establish the mandates, and you're going to have to fall under the UN and everything else. Those are things that you will not get funded for, because you're going to them.
Right.
What we need to do is come to us. Everything is here with us, right where we are. You are the great creation of the great creator, and we've walked away from that from our schooling. Now it's time for us to accept that as men and as women of sovereignty, because you are that. But listen, brother, great question. I'm glad you brought it up, but I'm just sorry we ran out of time. Brother Davis, thank you so much. Brother Braggs, thank you so much. Brother Scotty, thank you so much. I just want to thank you all for listening. Hey, listen to New Abolition Radio that's coming on right after Tando. We will come back to this conversation. We will bring this back up because it's so needed, because the time is now for the individuals to act. You are who you perceive yourself to be, and you are the great creator's most precious nation, individual. And live the way that God intended you to live, free and independent. Much love and much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Peace.